Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The way he played, he saved the NBA because the NBA is a copycat league and he perfected the mid-range game, right? So he brought back the ability to be able to shoot mid-range shots. It was either a three or a layup. I got crucified in Minnesota for wanting to shoot a mid-range shot if it wasn't a three or a layup for analytics.
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
Well, that was Jeff Teague talking about SGA. It's wild to hear kind of the celebration of the mid-range game because in Chicago, we kind of ran it out of town with DeMar DeRozan. The Bulls somewhat agreed and then just started firing up three-pointers at a rate we'd never seen before. And here we are, Judson Richards with you on 6-7 The Score. The Cubs, they are off tonight. The first-place Cubs in the nation's capital tomorrow as they will get sent to begin a lengthy road trip. But the Cubs, 37-22, they'll be back with you. But let's stick with the NBA now. Joining us now on The Score, a guy who knows about summers in Chicago, Dan Wyke of the LA Times covers the NBA and the Lakers. Dan, 80-plus degrees in Chicago today. It's a beautiful day to be in the Midwest, Dan.
Oh, that's great. It pairs, an 80-degree summer day pairs so well with just like a dipped beef sandwich, maybe a cold Fifth City from Revolution Brewing. Mm. God, I wish I was home.
Oh, look at you.
I was just there. I enjoyed. I was there for the combine. Had a great time around the town. Pope fever was everywhere, Judson.
No, oh, I believe. I think the Pope fever is still happening, Dan. Before we get to the NBA combine, it's hard for me to even not say the NFL combine anytime the word combine comes out of my mouth. But yeah. I want to know a little bit about the NBA combine. But before, you are from Arlington Heights, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, from Blue Island, but grew up in Arlington Heights.
Okay. All right. Grew up in Arlington Heights. Mom and dad, you still have family there?
Family still in the burbs. A lot of friends still in town. It's always a special trip home. And it's funny to tie it back to the NBA. It is strange because like you can always sort of get a sense for like how things are going with the Bulls by like how much I hear from my friends about the Bulls. And it's been a minute. Not a lot of Bull talk.
Okay. So you only hear from them when things are going really well.
Yeah. Like, or even like really badly. Like, it's just this like sort of like this like purgatory stage right now that has bred a level of disinterest. I would say like I heard from people over the last month of the season, you know, like the Bulls had that really exciting win against the Lakers.
They did.
People ask me about Josh Giddey. Is he for real? Like different things like that. Like you'll hear a little bit of it, but like, you know, Ben Johnson sneezes and I get like six texts from people, right? Like, you know, the
he sneezed earlier. We broke it down. Yeah, it was like it was graded out well.
Arlington Heights. A shovel gets shipped to Arlington Heights and I get a bunch of texts from people like, what's Kevin Warren doing? But it's like, you know, the Bulls are just kind of right now like in this weird, you know, they are in the mid-range of team building.
Well, now I want to know, Dan, how do you reply to said text when they're asked about is Josh Giddey for real?
I say that I think he is a good player. I don't know that he's a championship player. And
wait a minute. You know I didn't say Zach LaVine, right? Because they have to be like that.
This is all, and it's funny, you know, like you mentioned Justin DeMar DeRozan, right? And in the mid-range jump shot. I think there's been like a little bit of a misconception about like how analytics people feel about mid-range jumpers. And I think, and I don't want to misrepresent anybody's like opinions, but the way it's been like kind of always explained to me is that like you can take mid-range jump shots if you make them, right? And DeMar DeRozan makes them at a pretty high clip. He also, you know, gets to the foul line, which is what, if you're not going to shoot a lot of threes, like that's what you have to do. I just think, and like, this is a little reductionary, but if you're going to be a great offensive player, like you have to be great, great, if you're not going to be a plus defender or at least an average defender. And that is the disconnect on a lot of this stuff. Like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an awesome offensive player. And he's good enough offensively to stink on defense, but he doesn't stink on defense. Mm-hmm. And that is sort of like where, you can live if you're not like just hoisting a bunch of threes or whatever. Like I think, you know, that's been one of the interesting things with like Tyrese Haliburton, by no means, you know, Tony Allen on the defensive end. But I think, you know, he's so elite at the things he's good at on offense, particularly taking care of the basketball, that it's good enough. It creates enough of an advantage offensively that you don't have to like, you don't have to like mess with the inefficiencies on the defensive end. And that's how I always, when it comes to like team building and things like Josh Giddey, you know, I think you can have Josh Giddey on a basketball team, but I think if you're going to have him, you really need to commit to putting the right kinds of players around him that hide his weaknesses and maximize his strengths. And then that sort of leaves yourself, you know, with the question like, okay, well, like is Josh Giddey good enough to build the rest of the roster around what he's good at and what he's bad at?
Right.
And that's, you know, and that's a hard bet. Like, I think, you know, after, you know, a few years of Jalen Brunson in Dallas, if you had said, hey, the New York Knicks are going to make everything about Jalen Brunson, you would say that seems like a bad idea. Like he's a really good player, but that seems like, and they have surrounded him by and large with the right kinds of players. I know they just lost in the conference finals, but like they've surrounded him with the right kind of players where you can function at a fairly high level with an undersized point guard who's not much of a defender. Are the Bulls in position to put that kind of thought and attention in a roster around Josh Giddey? I don't think they're at that stage yet. But the problem is they're going to have to pay him like it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a big but. That's a big but. He is he's the pride of Arlington Heights. Dan Wyke of the LA Times covers the NBA and the Lakers. Dan, let me read you this quote. You may have seen it. Miles Turner said to The Athletic, quote, it's a new blueprint for the league. I think the years of the super teams, it's not as effective as it once was. Miles Turner now going to the NBA Finals with the Indiana Pacers. Should we note this NBA Finals, this playoffs, as somewhat of a change of guard of how you build an NBA team, especially with a second apron?
Yeah, I mean, I think this has been, it's been sort of coming, you know. I think there has been, over time, right, like an influx of talent. You've seen the quote-unquote super teams have cashed in a bunch of assets, and a lot of those bills are starting to come due, you know, when you look like, you know, people forget, like you look at the Thunder, right? And they're stacked. They have who some people thought was one of the best prospects in the draft last year, and Nikola Topic, a point guard who didn't play for them this year as he recovered from a knee injury. And that was, you know, a byproduct of trades that they had made, deals that they had made to put themselves in position to like be so asset rich. I think, talent still wins out, and building around talent still wins out. And like some of this, you know, has to do with fit and luck. But I mean, Boston is a super team and they won the championship last year. You know, they were in position to do it again this year. Obviously bad matchups, bad injuries didn't happen. But I think I think we sometimes rush to fall into like this is the new blueprint. I do think the second apron things are real. I think that having young talent that you draft and develop and or you know, in Indiana's case, trade for early in their careers gives you a lot of flexibility to go and do things. And then also then when you get chances, when you get cracks, whether it be through mid-level exceptions, trades, draft picks, you have to, like, you just, it's hard to have misses. And it's a lot of pressure on your front office to put together the right kind of roster and to solve sort of the math problem that's presented to you. You know, the team I cover, the Los Angeles Lakers, are in a math problem. And they're like part of the reason, if you want to know why the Lakers aren't playing it, are playing at home right now, like, yeah, some of it is bad luck. Some of it was not having a center. You know, some of it was missing on their mid-level exception to Gabe Vincent 2 years ago.
Yep.
And not getting the production they need from that type of contract that they can hand out. You know, it's when you extend Jared Vanderbilt at $13 million and he doesn't give you $13 million of value. It's when you don't sign the right minimum players. It's, you know, when you draft in the middle of the first round and you don't feel like you can play your rookie. Like, those are the types of things that, you know, if you look at this Indiana roster and you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder roster, and like the Thunder have had some chances to miss, but like, you know, when they've been aggressive for players and when they've drafted and by and large, when they've built around their guys, they're all guys they use and play and they've all produced.
Dan, you were here for the NBA Combine. What was that experience like? And I think what June 25th is draft day. The Bulls are at number 12. Do you have a couple players that you like for the Bulls there in that slot?
I think that a lot of people like kind of, it's one of those things like where people view this as like an 8 or 9 player draft. So like there is, you know, it was obviously disappointing for the Bulls, you know, like the if Josh Giddey misses that shot against the Lakers, for instance, right? I believe the Cooper Flagg pick is theirs, the combination number or something like that. I think they're in a good position because I think it's going to be a really active draft night, and teams looking to move up, teams looking to move down. Chicago has some players that people covet around the league. I mean, you know, Coby White is a player that if you're looking for a scoring punch, he's on a great contract and is about also to get expensive for Chicago. That's an interesting player. You know, if I was a team like, say, like maybe the Orlando Magic that need a scoring guard, that feels like a call I would make. You know, I think Nikola Vucevic is like, you know, for all of his flaws as center, still like a rock solid player. And there are teams all across this league looking for bigs. You know, and I think there is going to be a bunch of teams on the move early in the draft just because of, you know, you mentioned the new CBA. It, like, free agency by and large is dead.
Yep.
It's just not really a thing anymore. Very few players hit it in their peak, building the cap space, have it like all that stuff. It's more about, you know, what pieces you have that are movable and if you want to move. And I think, you know, there's player, obviously the player that I think I've heard, you know, Casey Johnson talk about a lot is Derek Queen, mm-hmm. right? From Maryland. It's a big upside play. Certainly kind of has like Kevin Love's body, which depending on eye of the beholder can be a good thing or a bad thing.
College and, Kevin Love or NBA college,
you know,
jawline Kevin Love or pre-jawline?
I think pre, okay. with the Banana Republic Kevin Love there in front of you, yeah. The little cardio or something, sure. Like that, right?
Yeah.
But you know, a really impressive player. You know, the Giddey thing is kind of interesting because there are some bigger guards that people like that kind of are in that range, like the BYU kid, obviously. You know, I'm gonna butcher his name, but like the guy from Illinois. Who I sat next
we
to
all know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, like I think he was very polite, by the way. Middle row in the middle seat in the exit row. on the way from Chicago to LA after the combine.
Is it Jonkosiaonis? I always forget if the J is.
I think
Kasparis.
I know him as Kasparis.
Listen, you guys are friends, Dan. You should know this.
We're very good.
You guys are hanging out.
I think he saw my media pass in my bag, and I saw him, and so I'm just go headphones on, Candy Crush out, and I took the message. But
How high do you think he could go, Dan?
8.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I think 7 or 8 like feels like the kind of he feels like a player that could climb because of his size and versatility. A big thing that teams are looking for all over the league, and you can point to both of these teams too, is you want players that can guard obviously multiple positions, but can guard up in positions too. You know, a 6'5" shooting guard that can guard threes is valuable. A 6'8" small forward who can defend at 6'9" and 6'10". If I were the Bulls, though, look, they just need dynamic talent. That's the biggest thing for them. It's players that can like really start to be about like the next 6 or 7 years. Not guys that are, positional team defenders or project to be 3-and-D star. To me, this should be a total talent play for them. Start to figure out to some degree what next looks like. But that feels like the type of thing we could have said about this Bulls team really since Lonzo Ball's injury.
Yep.
Like that's been sort of like, okay, well, like what's next? And they've been sort of stuck trying to figure that out. And I know that's been obviously a big talking point in the city. And it's been a thing around the league too. It's sort of like, when is ownership going to decide that this path is not the right one, that, more needs to happen, that a more aggressive track needs to be kind of laid. And right now, it seemed like the start of that was the LaVine deal, the Caruso deal, but I think when you talk to people around the league, they also sort of view the Bulls as a team that looks like they're building the seventh again.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's and still, still waiting for that one star. When I watch the playoffs, and I'll let you go, Dan, but when I watch the playoffs, there's always your guy. You got to get the guy. Yep. And Arturis Karnošonis virtually said you don't need the guy. You need 9 or 10 really good guys, and you can get up and run and get up and go. And I vehemently disagree with just his premise, like let alone I don't think he can find one or figure out how to do it. And I also disagree with the way that he looks at it. It's that part of it I find very discouraging, right? Where he isn't just not having sleepless nights of trying to find the guy. I mean, Jalen Brunson, I watched him put all of New York on his shoulders for a better part of the first three series of the playoffs.
Judson, and I think too, the counter argument would be like, well, 2 months ago, nobody would have said like Tyrese Haliburton was the guy. And and that's fair. I think that's fair. But he is somebody that and he has been somebody that they can build an entire offense and identity around. Right. And so even if you love Josh Giddey, let's just say that's the case. Lean into it. That would be the thing that I think teams need to do more, is that when you have the player, if he's, whether he's the guy or not, you treat him like such and find out whether or not he can do it. Because, I do agree with you that this sort of idea that you can do this with 7 or 8 guys and, be a, like that works in February. That's not a plan for May. In May, you need the guys. You need the right players around them too. It's not as simple as talent. There's a lot of talent that got left behind in this playoff, but it's sort of, why, and I would assume this front office is doing that. Like why, you'd kick the tires on, I mean, certainly you'd call Phoenix and see what are they looking for. You would, if you're aggressive about winning now, certainly you'd be on the phone with John Horace in Milwaukee, saying, like, you can have it all.
Right.
Like, whatever you need, like, take it. Well, the last season of The Bear will be filmed in Milwaukee. Like,
yeah.
You can have it.
I would trade the whole team, the Bean and the Willis Tower, if we could get Giannis Antetokounmpo. Dan.
The Pope? Would you send the Pope?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, take the Pope.
Yeah, send him. Have you seen Giannis go downhill? I absolutely would. Dan, you are the best. The city misses you. Come and visit us soon.
That's very sweet of you. All right, I'll see you guys soon. All right, thanks, Justin.
Great stuff. Dan Wyke of the LA Times covers the NBA and the Lakers. He was here for the NBA Combine. How about that? Derek Queen of Maryland. I don't know if he'll be there at number 12, but we'll offer some great draft coverage right here on 670 The Score, June 25th. So we're about 24 days away for the NBA draft. And we, of course, have the NBA Finals coming up this week as well. Pacers, Thunder. I've got the Thunder in 5. Studs?
I'm going to go Thunder in 6.
Oof, nice, nice, nice. I don't think it's happening. You probably just don't want to say same thing I did.
Yeah, it was really, I think the Thunder are going to close this out pretty quick.
Yeah. We will get back to the Cubs, the first place Cubs. Again, there was one moment this season where I thought, this is a team that is operating not only from a pitching level, from a player level, but also from an organizational level that really stood out. We'll get back to that coming up on 670.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
Here's the runner going. The pitch, a strike. Throw to second base. Out at second base is Tucker. He went in head first. Kyle wants to make sure he is out before he stands up and walks off the bag. And now he realizes it, and it's out number 2. Yeah, he was out easily.
Yeah, and Tuck, he went in head first to make the dive. And, you know, the infield has just been watered down, and I think he stuck a little bit when he made the dive. Head snapped down, and I think he hit his chin right on the dirt.
2-4 on the caught stealing. Also on the head first slide run, sometimes you get a hand kind of stuck underneath your body.
Yeah. Well, it's a good day for a day off for the Cubs, and not just for Kyle Tucker. The x-rays came back negative on that finger, so he is okay. Although I would not be surprised if he got a day off tomorrow. There's a number of guys that have not had a day off at all this year. Pico Armstrong has played every game. Dansby Swanson has played every game, as has Kyle Tucker, although he left the game yesterday in the fifth inning after that slide into second base. Judson Richards with you all the way until 9 o'clock tonight. The Cubs are off today. As we mentioned, they are traveling to the nation's capital. They have the Washington Nationals tomorrow, 5:45 first pitch. Then they have a series with Philadelphia and Detroit. Now, those two teams are up over 500. The Nationals are not. So it may not be the worst time to give a couple guys a break. The thing about Kyle Tucker sliding into head first is I've made a couple rule changes. Listen, I've made a couple baseball rule changes today. I want to make another one. In the 6 o'clock hour, I said, no more benches clearing. If we're not going to brawl, no more benches clearing. All right? And I just want, lock the door on the bullpens. Okay? Bullpen guys, you're not allowed to run out there. Another rule that I've had, Studs, I bet you didn't know I had so many baseball rules in place for the show today. This one, I have always felt very strong about. I'll ask you a question, Studs. If I handed you a Coca-Cola can, I said, hey, I want you to go recycle this can, but you got to crush this can. Tell me how you're going to crush this can.
How I would crush the can?
Yeah, if I said, crush this can for me.
I would place it on the ground and step on it.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah. All right. So why would you do that? Why?
It seems logical. It's the best way to do it.
Yeah, and you know why? Because you have a shoe on. And it would protect your hands. So here's,
you know what we actually used to do at my parents' house. I don't know if my dad still does this, but he takes like the big rubber mallet, and that's what he uses to crush the cans. It's
okay.
Pretty fun.
I actually thought when I asked this question, I said Studs may be a guy who just bites it and rips it in half.
But what kind of mood I'm in, you know?
Right. I've always thought that sliding in head first should not be allowed unless you're heading in a home plate trying to score a run. Okay? Now, especially now that the catcher has to give you a lane, and by the way, there is no object above the ground. Home plate is in said ground. And Kyle Tucker is a big man, 6'4". What, 200 and something pounds? Like, that's a lot of body to get down low enough to slide head first. And the bigger reason why I would outlaw it, if I were Craig Counsell, hope Craig Counsell is listening, who was a part of the station every couple of weeks. Craig, listen to me. Another reason why I would outlaw it is because you don't really get there much faster. In fact, I'd venture to guess you may not get there faster at all. The time that it takes to slow down and get your body low enough to slide head first versus just running full speed and then doing a quick pop-up slide, I think you get there faster, but it protects all of these important parts of your body that are not covered with a pair of shoes, right? The hands are dangerous. You can jam a shoulder very easily.
Well, I know some guys have gotten to wearing the sliding glove now.
Yeah, guess what? Kyle Tucker had it on the other hand.
That defeats the purpose of wearing it.
Exactly. He had the mitten on the other hand. So the one he ended up, again, you don't wear two of them. Maybe you should think about it. But you wear one on your predominant hand that you reach out for the bag for, but the other one that he hurt his finger on is not covered. So I've often thought, right, jamming your shoulder. I mean, look at his nose. His helmet about cracked his nose. You know when that wouldn't have happened? If he would have slid feet first. Feet first is drastically safer. So as we try to clean up the game, now I'm trying to outlaw the head first slide. It looks really cool if you're Ricky Henderson, who could get down really, really low and have this beautiful, easy slide. But when you're a giant man like Kyle Tucker, just go feet first, dude. You know, if PCA is the straw that stirs the drink, well, Kyle Tucker is the cup that holds the drink. So how about being okay? Kyle Tucker looks like, no matter what he's doing, like he could have a bases loaded at bat in the World Series. He could be watching the scariest movie of all time. And just his blood pressure never raises. This is Kyle Tucker talking about this finger injury of his.
It kind of happened pretty fast. I don't know if I had to. I mean, this probably looks worse than it is. It's just like a little scrape. But I think my helmet just kind of hit that. And my hand kind of just hit the ground kind of weird and kind of got caught under me. Just went out there, kind of felt weird. Hopefully, was just hoping that it went away and try to kind of just grind through and grind through the at-bats and stuff, but it was kind of hurting, and just kind of took a precautionary route of just coming out of the game, letting Brujan get in there, and Lynn did x-rays and everything. They were fine, so hopefully, you know, rest of today and the off day tomorrow will help.
You know, one of the things I like most about watching Kyle Tucker swing the bat, I really like the way he said, a slit, but he does not necessarily swing. He clubs the ball. I mean, you talk about, you don't see a lot of straight arm swings where he literally is, it's almost like how you would come overhead with an axe, but he just does it straight across and clubs the baseball. No matter what he's doing, keep on doing it, but let's keep him healthy. As I implement a new law, no head first slides, here's a guy that I need to pass this information along to. Great counsel on the health of his star player, Kyle Tucker.
I mean, I'm optimistic. This is going to be, at most a day or two. It's just a sprained finger, and as soon as some of the swelling goes down. I mean, he like I said, he took the second at bat, and it just was a little uncomfortable. So with the lead, just got him out of there.
Just get him out of there. If I were a betting man tomorrow, I do not think that Kyle Tucker will be in the lineup. I think that he's earned a day off. He not only got hit by a pitch the day prior, he was banged up before he banged his face and about broke his finger sliding head first into second base. So I would expect Kyle Tucker to have a day off. Again, the Washington Nationals, they're 28-31. So, you know, they're three games under 500. They've lost six of the last 10. They're not terrible, but then they do have the Philadelphia Phillies 36-23. I think before that, actually, is when they had the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers are 39-21 on the season. So this is a difficult road trip. The Cubs are not back home until the 12th of June, but they're going to have to rest some guys at some point. Dansby, as I mentioned, has played every single game. PCA has played every single game. So let's keep these guys healthy. Let's keep them upright. And maybe I'll put a size. If you're larger than 6'3 and over, no more head first slides unless it's at home. Even then, it's not worth it. What play at second base would be worth losing Kyle Tucker for a couple of months because it looks cool to go in head first? So that is the rule that I am implementing. But more importantly, all of the coaching decisions besides the head first slide seem to be working out really, really well organizationally for the Cubs. I did a segment. Listen, I was on a week ago, and I did a segment, Sharpie or pencil, for the Cubs in the playoffs. Would you be more likely to put it in with a Sharpie, which will be permanent, or a pencil because you're not so sure? And I was thinking back on my way home, I was like, I don't know if I allowed how well this team is doing, because I made a case for pencil, and it had to do with being a bit unsure of the depth of the starting rotation, right? But at times, you just need to let things breathe. And what I would let breathe in this Cubs team is, damn, they've been really, really good. They've also been really fun to watch. Like the Cubs, I can't remember. You can go an entire season, especially if you're a Rockies fan, but you could go an entire season, let alone 2 months, to see as many dramatic comebacks or offensive displays that we've seen from this Cubs team. They have far and away had more 4-plus run innings than any team in baseball. What's that called? That's called a crooked number. They're virtually the best in baseball when it comes to putting up regular crooked numbers and getting wins. And so the Cubs, as of now, again, 37-22, 15 games over 500. The Cardinals are a lot better than people thought. They're four games back. Brewers are 5.5 games back, and the Brewers have also rallied off 7 consecutive wins. But there's a turning point in the season, and we'll have a number of them. We'll have a few more. But one turning point that I thought, as the Cubs were looking a little wobbly, I thought kind of catapulted them back on track, and you can see it since this moment. May 19th against the Marlins in Miami. It's actually a game that they lost. You remember it was Daniel Palencia the first time he got a chance in the ninth inning, and Palencia went out there. He was one strike away from getting the save. He gave up a double to right center. Tucker was really close to getting to that ball. And then he ended up losing the game 8-7. He took the loss. But they made two major decisions there. The Cubs decided, number one, call Matt Shaw back up. He's gotten back on track at AAA. They had just started to kind of work on that leg kick of his, but he was play enough. They obviously think really highly of him, the man, where they think he can work his way through this in the big leagues. Let's get him back up there. You remember we were doing this revolving door of Gage Workman? That didn't last long. It didn't last long on the south side for him either.
But that's Gage Tater Workman.
Tater, that's right. Great middle name. Don't know if he's going to stick in the bigs. Gage Tater Workman, Vidal Brujan, John Birdie, Justin Turner. It was just this, you know, otherwise revolving door. And there seems to be that it lacked any sort of rhythm, right? The lineup just looked confused because you were confused if it was going to be there day in and day out. And you weren't getting any production from there either. I think Brujan had some defensive miscues. So they called up Matt Shaw. They said, go take your spot back. We'll give you your position back. And then they also said, hey, Daniel Palencia, you don't throw 93 miles per hour like Ryan Pressly, which is way too slow. It is just, Pressly has been outstanding since. I don't ever want to see him in the ninth inning again. He just gets barreled far too often. He's 36 years old. He's lost his heater. You know, 93.4 in a high leverage spot. That's a scary situation.
Gotta have a guy there that's going to miss bats.
You gotta have a guy miss bats
as a closer.
Right. And how do you do that? Not only great velocity, but the velocity is so good where even if you miss in the zone or miss your location, you can still have some success. Daniel Palencia is in the 99th percentile in the bigs in fastball velocity, 99.2 miles per hour. By the way, as you mentioned, his barrel percentage is really, really great. He is rarely barreled up. Needs to work more on a second and third pitch, but on May 19th, they said, give me my third baseman back in Matt Shaw. And they also said, Daniel Palencia, go out and win this job as our closer. Craig Counsell won't use the word closer. Fine with that. He keeps running him out there and he keeps getting saves. At some point, he'll just be the closer. But since that day, you know what they are since that day, studs? Their record, 12 games since that May 19th game where they put Shaw back at third and Palencia on the mound to close out a game. They're 9-3. So they won 9 of 12 since then. Matt Shaw is hitting .326. He's got an .825 ops. And Daniel Palencia, who had only saved one game previously in his career, has got 5 saves, and he's got a 1.74 ERA. So the decision organizationally, the decision by Craig Counsell and the performance of those two seemed to really kind of steady the ship at the time, when they looked a little wobbly because of those two revolving door locations. So that was good stuff. And we want to react to that. 312-644-6767. On the other side, I don't know why Rick Hahn would answer these questions, but I thought we should revisit it too. If everyone else is going to revisit it, let's do it. Rick Hahn, why did they trade away Fernando Tatis Jr.? Man, he gave you a full breakdown on that. We'll do it coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Score Even, weeknights 6 to 9.
All right, final stop for us. The Cubs, they were off tonight. They'll be back at it tomorrow. 5:45, first pitch right here on the Score. The Cubs make their way to the nation's capital to face the Washington Nationals. The Nats are 3 games under .500. The Cubs at 37-22 atop the NL Central. Looking forward to getting back to Cubs baseball. We will hear from Rick Hahn in just a moment. Listen, people are giving credit to Rick, and I guess he deserves it for airing out some of his worst moments on the MLB Network. We'll get to that in just a moment. Studs, you wanted to give a shout-out, something big happening around town, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, my nephew, who goes to school, he's a senior at Chatham Glenwood High School, which is down in central Illinois, near where I grew up. And so this past weekend, his team, the high school baseball team there, that obviously he plays on, won the regional championship. It's the 3A. They're playing in 3A. So they actually beat Jacksonville. 4-0 was the score. My nephew brought in 3 of the 4 runs for Glenwood. And so he had an RBI single early in the game and then a 2-run home run in the 6th inning that pretty much sealed the game. Remember, in high school, they only play 7 innings.
Right. So what's his name?
Tyler Gursky. So they play in sectionals now. They're playing Muhammad Seymour, I believe, on Wednesday. So they have, they also, in addition to my nephew, who's a pretty good player, they have this kid named Cameron, who I think is committed to Louisville. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's awesome. So if he's pitching again, I think they got a good chance on Wednesday. That he pitched a complete game shutout in the regional championship.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got an ace around town, if he's on the mound, you've always got a great chance to win.
So yeah, congrats to Tyler and his team. But big day for the kid. That was cool to see.
Way to go, Tyler. Big day for Rick Hahn. I think this may have been over the weekend, but Rick Hahn, who has surfaced, he's on MLB Network. And Matt Bascurian asked him a question. It's had to be tough.
If there's a trade you wish you could have a do-over on.
I mean, it begins and ends with Tatis. I mean, what fool would trade him? Here's the thing about Tatis. Obviously, horrible trade. San Diego actually asked for Eric Johnson, who was part of the trade, right-handed pitcher, as well as another arm initially. And we were reluctant to include two arms. The second arm never went on to appear.
They didn't even ask for Tatis?
Initially, it was a different arm. It was a different arm. And we pushed back, and we wound up shuffling and pivoting in the end. They asked for Tatis, which they deserve a ton of credit for identifying this guy out of complex ball as someone they wanted. At the time, it was 2016. We were dealing with a team that was 23-10 coming out of the gate. We knew we weren't as good as 23-10. Matt Latos was doing some things with smoke and mirrors early on in that season. John Danks was trying to fight his way back from injury and losing that battle. And we had a manager in Robin who kind of knew that, like, this, if we don't win this year, he might not want to be around too much longer on his own volition. Mm. So there was a lot pointing towards, let's push in to make this work.
Win now.
And obviously I regret the trade. Obviously it did not work out the way we hoped because we wound up not winning. And we ultimately, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of finally getting us to rebuild. But I understand and I think I take lessons with me going forward. But frankly, as part of the rebuild was wanting to have the depth to withstand if you didn't have, you know, if you had failure at one spot on that roster, which we just did not have in sort of this sort of piecemeal patch on the fly technique we were using.
Boy, the part of that that is most bizarre is the admittance of the Robin Ventura situation, where you're making decisions to try to keep a manager, like you're trying to sell a manager on wanting to be your manager. That in itself is somewhat very broken decision making. But no matter what the situation with Robin, go ahead.
No, I will say. We have to remember too, and not that I don't disagree with you, it's bad process, but Robin was kind of doing them a favor when he first agreed to be their manager. He was kind of done, and Jerry and Rick and Kenny kind of convinced him to come do this.
Right. So, also a broken process.
Right. Right. Yeah. So he was kind of like 1 foot out the door already. So like, I don't really blame Robin Ventura for being like, hey, listen, we're not winning. I don't want to deal with this.
Well, the revisionist history part of this that kind of led all of us to kind of jog our memories of what was happening in 2016. I had forgotten that they never saw Fernando Tatis Jr. play a professional game in the States, right? Like, they signed him. You kind of knew who he was because his dad hit 2 grand slams in one inning at one point in time in Fernando Tatis Sr. So a part of me wants to give Hahn and the White Sox a little bit of a pass because they never saw him in a professional game. However, that was 2016. 3 years later, Fernando Tatis Jr. was the National League Rookie of the Year runner-up. He came in third place, in fact. In 2019, he had .317, 22 home runs, 61 runs scored, 106 hits in 84 games. He hit 22 home runs in 84 games. So the reason why it's hard to give them a pass is because he did it 3 years later. So how different did he look in 2016 versus what he did in 2019? Also, James Shields was cooked. I mean, that's what this comes down to. They didn't just miss on this move. They traded for James Shields. Do you know what James Shields was? You know what his numbers were when they traded for him, Studs?
They were not great. I remember that.
Yeah.
They were just fine, if I recall. Like, before the trade?
Okay. Yeah, no.
I was trying to remember for sure.
No, he had a 4.28 ERA. He was 2-7. Oof. Now, nothing was as bad as when he got there, because I think his ERA was over 6 for the rest of that season. And he never really had any sort of success in a White Sox uniform. And then Fernando Tatis Jr., well, he's had, I would call it, an up-and-down career, not just with injuries, but also with the steroids and miss. But here's another problem with this. Because would you say that the San Diego Padres developed him since he never played a pro game? Like, can you say that he's their player he developed?
I would say he was more their development than the White Sox.
Because Sox fans may say, well, we would have screwed it up anyways, right? Developing him, getting to the bigs, and giving him a chance to succeed. But don't forget, the Padres hadn't developed an offensive player since Khalil Green. Do you remember that name?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, 2004 was the last time I think they developed their own offense. So if you're going to say, well, the White Sox would have screwed it up anyways, no. Tatis's ability was almost non-screwy-upable.
I do remember when that trade went down, talking to a friend of mine that, especially at the time, was a lot more dialed into the Sox, and kind of going like, I don't know who this Tatis guy is that they traded. And he's like, well, he might be really good.
They knew it. They knew. Get that. Sign them up as a scout. Get them on MLB Network. Hey, thanks to Dan Wyke of the LA Times. Talk some Bulls and NBA with us. Mark Sweeney from FS1 did a terrific job. Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network, he joined us. Talk some Bears with him in the 6 o'clock hour. You missed it, find it on the Rewind function. Find us on the Odyssey app. That will do it for us. For producer Adam Stasinski, I'm Judson Richards. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.
Get this train going and you know, have this thing picking up steam and choo-chooing along. Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.